It's wonderful to be here, and I actually do have another announcement, if kids can still go. We're doing something special as a church on December the 2nd. We are doing a ministry called Christmas with Style, and it is a ministry in which we're taking about 120 women who are in shelters all around Edmonton. What we do is we bring them to salons. They get a complete makeover. Then we bring them to the church, and we provide a Christmas dinner for them. They also get baskets of toys for their kids, and we also give them some new dresses. And this is where you come in. I am short on some especially plus-size dresses for these gals. So if you happen to have a few gently used plus-size dresses, Jason told me I could do this, by the way, so I do have his permission. If you could bring them next Sunday or the Sunday after that, we will pick it up here in Ebenezer or in Leduc, and that would be marvelous. This goes directly to help these gals. A lot of them are hiding out from violence, from all sorts of other issues in their lives, and we just wanted to provide a wonderful Christmas opportunity to bless them, and also hopefully to share the love of Jesus with them in a unique way. So if you can do that, that would be wonderful. Let's pray as we open God's Word together. Father, thank you for this opportunity to listen to you, to stop, and to remember who you are, to remember your word to us, Lord, because it can transform our hearts and transform our lives. And this morning, Lord, we pray that it would send us into this world with the good news of who Jesus is. We pray this in his name. Amen. So it's been a while since I've been in Leduc. I've preached here a couple times. I can't exactly remember when. I do remember that I used to come when I was a little kid. My dad was the pastor of Bethel, Lacombe, and I used to come with him sometimes when he did some preaching in different churches. And I remember coming to Leduc, and you were always wonderfully hospitable folks. And actually, there's something else about Leduc that I'll never forget. The time that I got pulled over here in Leduc. Now, I'm sure you are really, really nice people, so you've never experienced getting pulled over by a police officer. But I have. But this was very unique, very unique. So I'm driving back from my folks' place in Red Deer, and I'm driving by the Leduc exit, and I see three police cars there. And I think, well, that's not normal. Normally, you don't see three of them together. But I keep driving by, and of course, I'm behaving myself because they're back there. And all of a sudden, I see their lights in my mirror. And I'm thinking, well, I'm not speeding, so I go over to the right lane. They all follow me. I think, what's going on here? So I pull over to the side, and all three police officers pull over behind me. Now, you have to imagine this. If you get pulled over by one police officer, I mean, people kind of drive by, and they're like, ha-ha, he got you, he didn't get me, right? But three police officers, I mean, parents are telling their kids, you know, hide your faces from this. This could be a mass murderer or something like that, right? And this could be a serious criminal. And I'm like, and of course, so then my wife and I did what any self-respecting couple would do. I blamed her and she blamed me, right? I'm like, what did you do? And she's like, what did you do? Right? We couldn't figure this out. So the police officer comes up to the window, right? Make it go down. And he says, sir, just so you know, we were contemplating a high-risk takedown. I'm like, what? A high-risk takedown? That's where they actually take their car and they drive it into your car and get it off the road. And I'm like, what? I do not understand what is going on here. Well, here's what happened. We have two foster daughters. And back in Red Deer, unbeknownst to us, they wrote in the dust of the car on the back, help me, right? And somebody was driving by, and they must have seen that, and seen that these two gals were in the car, and they must have thought all kinds of bad things, phoned ahead to some police officers or 911, right? And so we got pulled over. High-risk takedown almost. Crazy, right here in Leduc. So we get it all figured out, and we make the girls like go to the back of the car and wipe off the help me in the back, and we make them wipe off the emergency thing they wrote on the front. And we get it all sorted out, the cops leave, and we pull out, and the car is really quiet because I'm not happy, right? I got some smoke coming out of my ears, so the quiet comes over the car. And then my teenage daughter, Janessa, says, "Dad, you are so going to use this as a sermon illustration." And she was right. So that's one of my crazy stories about Leduc. So be careful how you drive in these places. Now, I'm here today on behalf of Resonate, also obviously to preach and to bring God's word. But let me just start by letting you know a little bit about Resonate and what's going on. For those of you who don't know, Resonate Global Missions is the combination of what used to be Home Missions and World Missions. And those two mission agencies have been brought together. Now, this makes a lot of sense. First of all, because while there used to be kind of a division between sort of domestic ministries and international ministries, now you can go at the front door of your house and you're basically in an international ministry context. I mean, let's be honest, the world has come to us, right? So it doesn't make any sense to make that division any longer. And it also saves on overhead, and it saves on costs, so that we can do more with the dollars that we're blessed with and make sure that we're bringing the gospel to as many people as possible. Now, what's great about it is we've become more regional. So I'm actually working one day a week for Resonate now, and I get a chance to make sure that we're engaging the mission locally. All right, so and you're gonna hear about that as this message unfolds. But I'm kind of one of your local, they call them LMLs, and so I'm here on behalf of Resonate to encourage you in terms of the mission that God has called all of us to. But let me start this morning with some verses out of Amos 8, and we're going to read from Amos 8 to start, and this is going to kind of shape what I want to talk about this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Amos chapter 8, verse 11 to 12. I believe it'll appear up here as well, yeah? So now let me just set this up for you a bit, give you a bit of context. Amos is one of the Old Testament minor prophets, and he prophesies during the reign of Uzzah and Jeroboam 2 in and around 760 to 750 BC. Now, during that time, the nation of Israel was both politically and economically secure. I mean, she had no real enemies. And from a money standpoint, you know, everybody was happy. There was lots of good food, lots of good clothing. In fact, there were so many excess calories consumed during that time that Amos compared the women of Israel at that time to the fat cows of Bashan. Okay? However, his message was not a message of comfort, just like what was read earlier in the service from the prophet Joel. It was not a message of comfort. It was a message of judgment. Because of the duplicity of the people of Israel, because of their idolatry, because of their disobedience, Amos tells the people of Israel that God's judgment is coming. Now, I want you to notice the metaphor that Amos uses in this passage, because it's a powerful metaphor, and it fits well with our times as well. Listen to these words, Amos 8, verse 11 to 12. "The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land. Not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine for hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it." Famine. That's a strong image, isn't it? I mean, think of all the famine-related images that you've seen over the years on TV. Think about how they made you feel. I mean, desperate people, sunken eyes, skin and bone, babies too weak to even cry. That's what Amos wants to evoke in his audience and by his spirit, or by the spirit of the Lord through you and me. He wants us to think then not in terms of a physical famine, but in relation to a spiritual famine. A famine, he says, for hearing the word of the Lord. But now let's read the second passage, which comes from the book of John, chapter 6, verse 35 to 40. And in a very real way, it is the solution to the famine that Amos is talking about. It's the bread of the kingdom. It's the bread come down from heaven to feed hungry souls. It's the person of Jesus. Listen to these words. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." So on the one hand, you have famine, right? A famine for hearing the word of the Lord. And on the other hand, you have the bread of the kingdom, the bread of life, Jesus, the incarnate one, who's come to feed hungry souls like yours and mine. Now, you might ask, why is not hearing the word of the Lord so seriously? Or so serious, rather. I mean, a physical famine, I understand, right? You don't eat, you die. Pretty straightforward. But a famine for hearing the word of the Lord, what makes the word of the Lord so essential? Well, to answer that, you have to understand something about this phrase, the word of the Lord. Perhaps the easiest way that I can explain it to you is to remind you that in the Bible, the word of the Lord is closely associated with the presence of the Lord. Recall, if you will, the very significant commentary that God makes on the human condition in Deuteronomy 8. He says this, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." In other words, human beings, humankind, was not created to live in isolation, concerned only with self-maintenance and self-propagation. This is the way of the animal kingdom. No, humankind was created to commune with God, to live in relationship with him, to live in his light, indeed to draw energy from his being and life from his presence. This is what makes what happened in the Garden of Eden so disastrous. By disobeying God, we decided for ourselves that we wanted to live apart from God. We wanted to decide what's good and what wasn't good. And essentially, by doing that, we cut ourselves off from that which gave us life. Humankind became like a plant trying to grow without light. No matter how much soil and water there is, without light, you farmers know this, a plant can never flourish, right? Eventually, without light, a plant will wither and die. And that's how you have to think of it in terms of the word of the Lord. Without the word of the Lord in our lives, how would we know what the purpose and the meaning of life really is? I was at a funeral a few weeks back of Doug Monsma. And, of course, many of you probably know Doug because Brother DeGale, who was the principal here in Leduc for many years at the school next door. Doug himself was a teacher and an educator in Edmonton. And at this funeral, so many people got up to speak. The place was packed. And here's what they didn't say. They didn't say, "Doug Monsma had no idea what his life was for. So he maximized his own day-to-day pleasure until the day he got cancer and then he suffered and he died." No. They said, "Doug knew God. And because Doug knew God, he knew that every second was an opportunity to make a difference in the kingdom of God, to love someone, to share life with someone, to help someone, to educate someone. And so he worked diligently. He gave himself tirelessly. And he wrote a curriculum for Christian schools that will have a lasting impact on education in Alberta and in other places for years to come. See, Doug knew what life was about because Doug understood the word of the Lord. Similarly, without the word of the Lord, how would we know what's right and what's wrong? How could a civil society ever emerge? How could we know objectively what is right and what is wrong? You know, not like lying and murdering people or sleeping with your neighbor's wife is a bad idea. You see, we need the word of the Lord. We need revelation. There's a series of movies out there called The Purge, and I can honestly say I have not seen one of these movies, but I kind of get the gist of them from the trailers. And the basic notion is that instead of a society actually policing people, applying the rule of law, instead of that, on one particular night every year, people are allowed to break every law, every law. In other words, you can kill with impunity. You can settle with whatever score you might have with someone, no matter what you did. It's kind of like a no-rules night. You can be a predator and a murderer and a monster. Now you say, Pastor Bruce, that's just Hollywood. But tell me now, without the word of the Lord, without the gospel, which, by the way, has shaped Western civilization and our morality like nothing else, what separates us from the world of the purge? In fact, aren't we beginning to see that kind of world emerge in our society as the influence of Christianity fades? Certainly on the political front, we see it nowadays, don't we? What do we say? It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. That's why Amos paints this picture. He says, without the word of the Lord, it's like people are staggering. They're lost. They're blind. They're helpless. You know, we run Alpha at the River in the church that I pastor in Edmonton. And for those of you who don't know, it's kind of an introduction to Christianity. And this year, we went all out. We delivered flyers. We put road signs up. We pumped it up on Facebook. And we got a pretty good response. And one gal, her name is Shine. She signed up to take the course online. And she wrote an email to me, and this is what she said. She said, I know I need something in my life. I feel a little lost. I'm thinking that having faith in my life might anchor me a bit because I seriously don't quite know what I'm doing and where I'm going. Do you think Alpha could help? Of course, my answer was, yes, I do, right? Can I get personal for a moment? I don't know why you're here this morning. Maybe you came because your parents made you. Maybe you came because, well, that's just what you do when, you know, on Sunday morning when you live in Leduc. Maybe you came because you heard there was a really good-looking pastor preaching this morning and then Jason wasn't preaching and you're all disappointed now. But can I point this out for every single one of us? There's a hunger inside us. There is a longing for bread. And it's not physical bread. It's a hunger for something more. A hunger for a relationship with God. To have the presence of God in our lives. A presence that gives our lives meaning and purpose and shape and direction. And now here's the good news. Jesus came to fill hungry hearts. He really did. Despite the fact that we broke covenant with God in the beginning, God didn't leave us to our own devices. Jesus came as what? The Word of God. the bread of the kingdom, the real incarnate flesh and blood presence of God. This is what Jesus means when he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. I can break that spiritual famine in your life. I can feed hungry hearts. And we all need to come to a place in our lives at some point where we invite Jesus to actually fill my heart. Have you let that happen? Have you asked Jesus to break the spiritual famine in your life? I'll never forget when it happened for me. I mean, I grew up as a pastor's son, so I had all the theology, right? I mean, you could come over to our house on Sunday morning and we could argue John Calvin with the best of them, right? Of course, we had roast preacher as well, but that was a little bit more difficult when my dad was the preacher. But the problem was, the word of the Lord, you know, the ideas hadn't traveled from here to here. And when I went to college, I went a little crazy. I decided I was going to live my own life and do my own thing. But I ended up going to a black gospel church. And I think I needed it because it kind of was just so different than everything that I experienced up to that point. And the pastor that morning said, some of you are here this morning and the message of the gospel hasn't traveled from here to here. And here's what you need to do in order to say yes to what Jesus has for you. You need to come to the front and kneel at the front as a sign of your submission to it. And instantly in that moment, a kind of a spiritual battle broke out in me, right? Because I was like, I don't need to go to the front. You know, I don't have to go to the front and kneel down in order to be a Christian, right? And it was in that moment that I heard the voice of God like I've never heard it before. And God said to me, he said, if you won't even do something as simple as this, if you won't kneel before me, if you won't come to the front, kneel before me, how can you trust me with the rest of your life? And I knew it was God speaking right to me. And so thankfully, I got up and I went to the front and I kneeled. And in that moment, God ministered to me and broke through to me in a way that had never happened before. And that has changed the trajectory of my life and the reason why I'm standing here this morning before you. And I want to ask you, has that happened for you? Have you let Jesus break the spiritual famine in your life? If not, then let him this morning. Invite him to do that this morning. Now, here is the thing. God never fills a hungry heart, my heart, your heart, and then says, okay, well, good enough. You know, on to the next. Glad you're full. He always is invested in filling the next hungry heart. Because you need to know that God doesn't just love you. He does, more than you know, but he loves everyone. People matter to God. God loves people. All the people that you interact with every day, your coworkers, your neighbors, your friend down the street, your soccer or hockey buddies, your Pilates classmates, your business associate, God really, really loves them. And God wants to fill their hungry hearts as well. And so God is sending you. He's sending you. He's sending us to reach them, to share with them the bread of the kingdom, to share Jesus with them. In Acts 1, Jesus says this, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses. So what does this mean? Well, it means in whatever way you can, you share the bread of the kingdom. You share Jesus with others. And this is what happened to my wife Sharon and I. Some 17 years ago, we had a great job in a church in Abbotsford, New Life. But God called us into church planting to be very, very intentional about reaching lost people, to gather lost people, or to create a church that was focused on gathering people who were far from Christ, who were spiritually starving. And let me tell you, it was a challenge. I mean, when we came here, we didn't have a launch team. We just had a belief that God was calling us into this. And I'll never forget the day we drove into town. It was Halloween 2001. It was just us and our four kids, and that was our church at that point. And Janessa, our youngest, threw open the car on the way to the house. Welcome to Edmonton, right? But God has been so incredibly faithful, and he showed up in so many powerful ways. And let me just share with you one church planter story, something that happened to me. This was early on in the church plant, and I was having a bad church planter day. You can have those in church planting, believe me. Jason, you know this. And I was kind of grumping around, right? I was driving around in my car, things were not going right, and I was talking to God, and I was like, God, is this everything that I've done, pulling my family, uprooting my family from Abbotsford, bringing them to Edmonton where it's colder and the mosquitoes are bigger, and is it worth it? Well, I didn't at that moment get like a plane, you know, with a banner behind it flying by. In fact, I got nothing in that moment. So I went home to make dinner because I'm a 21st century guy. I was peeling potatoes. I got a phone call from a friend, and he called me, and he said, Bruce, I was praying for you this morning, and he had always promised to pray for us. He said, I'm not going to join your church plant, but I promise and commit myself to praying for you every day, because I know church planting is hard. And he says, I was praying for you this morning, and God really, really laid something on my heart, and he said, I had to call you today to tell you it's worth it. Can you believe that? And I started, just like now, I always get emotional when I tell that story, because it was like God speaking directly to me. And so I had tears coming down my cheeks, and my 16-year-old son, you know, he was watching all this unfold, and of course they get very nervous when their father starts crying, and I said, some tears are good tears, son. Some tears are good tears. God has done incredible things. You know, last Sunday night, we gathered together just for a kind of an anniversary celebration. It was the river. It was Mosaic House South. It was Mosaic House East. It was Avenue Church, which has got started on the Avenue downtown. And we also had a chance to pray for the brand new church plant that God is planting through this movement, through Classes Alberta North, in partnership with you guys. And I'm here today to thank you for your support over the years. But we all got together, and we had this incredible worship celebration. And we thanked God for the incredible, marvelous, amazing things that he's done over the years. And then we had a chance to lay hands on our newest church planter, Ryan Petey, who, God willing, is going to plant the sixth church plant in Fort Saskatchewan next year. And I want to show you this video. This is it's hot off the press. You're one of the first congregations to see it, and it kind of shares the vision of the Fort Saskatchewan plant. Have a look.
Fort Saskatchewan is the eighth fastest growing city in Canada. And over the last 10 years, it's added a whole bunch of houses, a whole bunch of condos and office buildings, but it hasn't added any new churches. What the city needs is a vibrant church that meets the spiritual needs of this city and invites people far from God into a relationship with Jesus.
You can't buy community, and you can't buy a feeling of belonging. And so we want to be able to be the bridge that draws people to Jesus himself.
The thing I love about this church is that people from a rough background, someone like me, can come. I was baptized at the age of 25, but I can come and be accepted and loved at this church.
For somebody like me who commutes in Edmonton every day to work, I just want to be part of this community on the weekends, and where our friends and our neighbors can come and enjoy the community at a church here in Fort Saskatchewan.
The way that we're starting this church is just like the church began in the book of Acts, where people met together in their homes and they broke bread and they worshiped and they prayed and they reached their neighbors. So right now in Fort Saskatchewan, we have a house church with between 50 and 60 people, and a and reaching out to friends and neighbors to launch this church.
I commute over the bridge every day. And I'm wondering with all the other people, do they know a more important bridge?
We want to be the bridge that draws people into a relationship with Jesus Christ.
I guess we feel called to join a new church that's out to reach people in Fort Saskatchewan who don't know the Lord yet.
What Fort Saskatchewan needs is a new church, a place for the unchurched, a place where people can bring their friends and neighbors and introduce them to Jesus.
Here, right? It's happening in your own backyard. I mean, I know it's important to think about the global mission and what's happening in Zimbabwe and all sorts of other places. That's all really, really important and good work. But this is happening in our neighborhood. This is a movement that God has birthed in Classis, Alberta North. And every one of us, this is the exciting part, can become a part of it, right? You know, our prayer at Resonate Global Missions is that not only would we plant new churches, but that established churches would be re-energized for reaching people for Jesus, for sharing the bread of the kingdom, for feeding hungry hearts. And so I'm here this morning to encourage you. By the way, there are now over 100 folks. Believe it or not, they haven't even launched yet. And if you saw early on in the video, he was standing in kind of an office building. It looks like they are going to be a church that meets in an office tower, like the fourth floor of an office tower. So this will be the first church in Alberta North that I know of where you have to take an elevator to go to church. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So maybe you're asking yourself this morning, okay, well, how can I be a part of it? How can I be part of this sharing of the kingdom? Well, first of all, right here in the Duke, right? You know, it starts with each one of us making a commitment to becoming someone who shares their faith, who shares the bread of the kingdom. But also, I want to encourage you to partner with Resonate, with the new church plants in prayer. And so there's a couple things that I want to do, and this is where I get to give away some swag here. This is some Resonate swag, okay? So first of all, Jason, come on up for a minute. And so to each church, I'm going to try to visit every church in Classis, Alberta North, and the first thing that we want to do is here, take out what's in there. It's a nifty little Resonate mug, okay? All right, it's got Resonate with our new logo on it, okay? And this is some Western Canada local missions team select coffee, okay? And so we know that part of, you know, sharing the bread of the kingdom, it starts with just basic hospitality, right? It starts with having a cup of coffee with somebody. And just befriending them and loving them and whatnot. It starts with this church being welcoming and sharing coffee in the morning and whatnot. And you do that really well. You welcomed each other really well this morning. So we want to give you this coffee, and you can share it in the office or maybe have it at your next council meeting as a way of reminding yourself to be a part of the mission.
Thank you.
Now I'm not done. So what I'm asking all of you to do in terms of partnering with us is you all got a little card like this. It probably fell out of your bulletin this morning, okay? And it says Western Canada Resonate Global Mission, all right? Now, Jason, you've already filled one of these out, right?
I have.
Okay.
Right here.
Wow. It's kind of ceremonially.
This is not even a prop. This is
that's your actual one. He got it at Classis. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. You'll be the first in this congregation. But we're asking all of you to fill this out. And if you do, fill it out. I've got some Resonate pens over at the table if you need it. If you don't have a pen, I'll give you the pen as well. Give it to me, and I will give you one of these Resonate fridge magnets. And the reason we want to give these out is because, you know, you see your fridge every day, right? You open up your fridge every day. This is kind of handy. You can put some stuff on it. But when you see this in the morning, take a few moments just to pray. to pray for this church, to pray for the church plants, to pray for classes over to North, that we would be engaged in this work of sharing the bread of the kingdom, of feeding hungry souls. And what we'll do is, when we get your information, we're going to make sure that we communicate so we can send out videos like this, so we can keep you updated as to what's happening right here in your backyard in terms of the missional story. We want to do a much more intentional job of you knowing what's happening, of all these amazing things that God is doing in different places and spaces all across Western Canada. So not just classes Alberta North, but also Alberta South. There's two classes in BC, and all of them, we want to make sure that we keep you posted on what's happening. And there's really some different areas: church planting, campus ministry, missional churches and communities, and global and local mission partnerships. So fill that out, bring the card, and I'll give you one of these. And this will be kind of our first step in partnering and sharing the bread of the kingdom. So let me pray just to close. Father, we thank you this morning for reminding us that there's a famine in the land. Not a famine for food, but a famine for hearing the word of the Lord. Father, many of us know people in our lives who, although they might be all bright and shiny on the outside, Lord, inside they have a hungry heart. They're staggering because they need the bread of the word of the Lord. And let it start with us, Lord, because some of us here this morning, we need to, in a very real way, invite you to fill our hungry hearts, because we can't give what we don't have. So fill us, we pray this morning, by your Spirit. Help us to say yes to you, to say yes to a relationship with you, to say yes to the bread of the kingdom. But then, Lord, send us into our neighborhoods, into our workplaces, to share the bread of the kingdom, to share Jesus with our friends and neighbors. And as we partner together, as churches, as classes, as regions, Lord, we pray that you'll do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine in terms of growing your church and reaching people for you, because we know you love people. You love people, and you want to reach people and bring them into your family. So use us. Let it start with us. We pray in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.